Our next guest is Chester Hull, who wrote the book Life on the Flight Deck. And Chester, welcome welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here.
Now, Chester, in another life, in fact, another like an hour ago, he works for the communication center here, so he was running around doing some troubleshooting, and now we're putting him to work talking about this book. And this has really been a passion project for you.
Absolutely. Really a lifelong passion.
Really?
I've had this goal in mind for about now 15 years. It was about 12 years of trying to figure out how to take the next step and really make it become a reality. And 3 years of hard work, but a lifetime of dreaming.
Really? So what's the inspiration for the book?
You know, Life on the Flight Deck tells the story of these 18, 19, 20-year-olds who are out there in the yellow, the blue shirts, the green shirts, the red shirts, you know, the whole color spectrum on the deck. And those are very purposeful. Mm-hmm. But the average age on the deck is about 19. And they're given immense responsibility, not only of $65 million jets, but their lives and other people's lives are in their hands.
Right.
And so to be able to tell that story, lots has been written and filmed about the jets, mm-hmm. and the pilots. And don't get me wrong, I love that too. Yeah. But these are the real heroes of naval aviation.
Good. How did you get access? I can't tell you. You don't just walk up to an aircraft carrier, knock on the door and say, hi, can I come in?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah. The Navy was really, really good to us. I actually made some connections here at a previous Air Venture. And long and short of it is I ended up on an email thread with somebody saying, call me.
Okay.
And call me was the commander flight deck operations Pacific Fleet. And there came a moment in there in my conversation with them on the phone where I said, sir, what I'd really like to do is be able to get on a carrier, interview sailors, take pictures and experience what this is really like to be able to tell the story accurately. And there's that pause. And I'm like, well, you know, there's my chance, right?
Yeah.
And he said, I think we can make that happen.
Wow.
So I was able to spend 2 weeks on a carrier in the Pacific.
Okay.
And the Navy was really, really good to us to be able to get that experience and capture it accurately.
Good. Did you fly to the carrier or did you board it?
So we boarded in San Diego.
Okay.
And spent time on the boat. And then at the end, they put us in the back of a C-2 and shot us off the catapult. And that's, a ride of a life.
I'll bet. And for those listening on radio, it's be kind of use your imagination. But Chester, you've got something here.
Yeah, like
you're talking about the C-2.
Sure thing. So what I have is a dog bone, and this is just a little tiny, you know, 3-inch piece of metal, and kind of looks like a barbell or a dog bone. Mm-hmm. And this goes into the holdback bar on a C-2 or an E-2, and is what keeps the aircraft connected to the deck, so that in launch mode, when they're on the catapult, they can go to full military power, do all their final checks, and then get shot off on the catapult. So this is rated for 53,000 pounds. And at the, you know, there's a sailor who goes under and clips this in. It's his responsibility to make sure that's set. The catapult officer does his checks and pushes the launch button, and this snaps in half. Half of it goes flying, and half of it's there on the deck.
So, wow.
It's controlled chaos is really what it is.
Well, it is one of the most dangerous places to work.
It is. The four and a half most dangerous acres in the world.
Right.
Everything is trying to kill you all at once.
Yeah. How does the entire sequence work from the time the airplane starts taxing toward the catapults until launch?
So this is the thing. Most of the people on the deck don't have radio communications.
Right.
The majority, it's all hand signals. And you have to be aware, like, if you know what the flight plan is and what aircraft is launching and what sequence, you got to be aware that they're bringing that up. They're taxing up to the catapult. So they're lowering the jet blast deflector, they're bringing it up on the catapult, getting that set up. But meanwhile, jet blast deflector is going up. They're bringing the next aircraft up behind that and, you know, shuffling them around. One of the most problematic things in that cycle is getting what they call a locked deck, where an aircraft needs to move, but it can't because another one's there, and it can't move because – and that's a real problem.
Yeah.
So the sequence is they'll bring them up to launch, and they try to launch a bird about every 30 to 45 seconds.
Wow.
And it's very high-paced. Everything's running. The jets that are flying are on. Whether the jets are on, the props are turning and moving around on the deck. So as you move around on the deck working that situation, you've got to be aware of jets turning, props spinning. It's dangerous.
Yeah. Did it take a while for the sailors to kind of warm up to what you were doing? Or, I mean, did you have to build up some relationships with them first, or was it sort of like, cool, I want to tell you my story?
Yeah, most of them were very excited to tell us their story. In fact, a lot of them thanked us profusely for telling their story, and a lot of what we got was, my family doesn't really get to see what I do out here. They don't understand. And until you're there in that environment, you just you can't really grasp the adrenaline.
Yeah.
And we had people tell us, I signed up to do this, and I stepped out on the deck the first day and said, I can't do it. Like, it's too intense.
Yeah.
You're working out there. It's not an eight-hour shift. You're working for flight quarters that might be 12, 14, 16 hours in all kinds of weather.
Right. Oof. You mentioned us because you have a photographer who joined you as well.
Yes, my great friend Kenton Van Dyne was a photographer. He took most of the pictures and did a fantastic job. I remember calling him up one day and said, Kenton, I've got something you might be interested in. And he did fantastic. So the Navy didn't stop for us. There was no posing.
Right.
There was no let's retake that. No. There was nothing like that. We got what we got. But they were also very good to us being able to allow us access in places that you just normally don't get to go.
So you were actually on the flight deck?
We were on the flight deck day and night in flight ops. I mean, we're standing on the landing area safety line where if you stand behind this 2-inch line, you're safe. And if you take a step forward, not only do you foul the deck and they have to call off operations, but you're likely to get killed.
Yeah. Very intense operations. With the 2 weeks that you spent there, did you feel that the adrenaline, the pressure, observing what was going on?
Absolutely. But it was also neat to see their progression over time, and you could see them, because when we first sailed, they were doing their workups, and you could see them gel as a crew over time, and things click together.
Yeah. So this was a training mission?
When we went out, it was for carrier qualifications. Okay. So they were certifying flight deck and carrier quals for pilots in the air wing.
Okay. What goes into qualifying the flight deck?
So they have to demonstrate a certain competency level in both timing and accuracy to be able to move the aircraft around, to follow the flight plan, and not drop the ball on those operations.
Good. Which is more intense, landing or taking off?
The takeoff is intense from a how your body feels it, but as a pilot, there's not a lot you do.
Right.
You hold on. Landing from the pilot's perspective is intense. Landing at night when you're standing on the deck is incredible because the airplane just appears out of nowhere. The deck is dark, and all of a sudden, there's an aircraft screaming in, getting trapped on the wires.
Wow!
So that's really, really intense. But we also were out at night between the two Bowcats, launching jets, and you stand behind the safe line. You launch the one jet, and then you have to move back to the other safe line to launch the other jet. Otherwise, you're in the way. So it's this constant dance in what they call the pig pen up there between the cats. But I think the thing that surprised me the most about being out there that I didn't even plan for was the wind. Because when they're launching or recovering, they're steaming into the wind. Mm-hmm. So you might get 30 knots of wind from the steam plus whatever is wind anyway. And up to about 50 knots.
Wow.
So what I like to tell people is the next time it's 60 or 62 mile an hour winds, just go do some yard work and see how that works out, you know. And these sailors are out there doing that all the time. It's intense, hard work. I think some of the hardest working ones out here are the green shirts.
Okay.
Working catapults and arresting gear, and the stuff that they have to deal with is just, everybody works hard. But,
right. So as a green shirt, what are their duties?
So they're, for launching, they're in charge of the catapults, all the catapult operations below decks and in the launch bubble and side deck operations. So they're in charge of hooking up the jets to the catapult. They're in charge of functioning the catapult, aside from the officer that's actually pushing the button. And then on the arresting gear, so the wires that go across the deck, they're in charge of setting the weight for every plane that lands. So everyone that's coming in is going to be set slightly differently on the wires to be able to catch them in the same location. And they retract that cable. So there's a operator retracting the cable and tallying every time a particular cable catches a hook, because they only last for a certain amount of traps before they have to replace that cross-deck pendant piece.
Wow.
And then there's also sailors with big bars, they look like big digging bars, basically, that are guiding that cable as it retracts, because it's extended all the way out to the bow of the ship. And so that it's very dangerous as that comes back if that, catches your foot or whatever. And when those snap, really, really bad things happen. It'll cut you in half.
Yeah. What about the other colors? You talked about green. You said yellow, red.
Yeah, yellow, red. So blue shirts come on, and they're they're primarily chocking and chaining the planes, so keeping them safe that way, driving tractors and tugs and things like that. And then they can progress to a yellow shirt, which is actually a plane director, and they're in charge of moving the planes around on the deck. So pilots put their utmost trust in the yellow shirts as they move the jets around. And then the red shirts are both ordnance, and there's also red shirts that are crash fire. And so their job is tough because they're always suited up and always ready to go for the thing that you hope doesn't happen.
Right.
Right.
Is there a particular story in the book, or maybe one that didn't make the book, that someone told you that really stands out?
Yeah. So I'll tell this from my experience. Being on there, we were waiting one day to run across the landing area to the LSO stand on the other side of the port side of the ship, and they're landing, so they're catching planes, and you have to wait for the officer to signal you that it's clear to run. So a plane traps, and we get the all clear, we're running across, and it gets longer and longer as you're running, and about halfway across, I look to the left, and the next jet is already rolling in on final. I'm looking at his nose. I get across. They're unchocking, unchaining the two jets right in front of me to go send them up front and shoot them. So I'm immediately in the way. I can't go back because I'll immediately foul the deck. I can't squeeze up on the LSO stand because they're just jammed with people. Where do you go? You know, and this is the environment that these sailors work in all the time.
Absolutely amazing. The book is great. It's a coffee table size book, but it is jam packed with information and stories. And you will be at Author's Corner.
Author's Corner today at 3:00. The book is available here at AEAA, lifeontheflightdeck.com.
Lifeontheflightdeck.com. Chester, thank you for joining us today on From the Stand. This is From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss on EIA Radio.